The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. How are you doing today, Samantha?
You know, I'm good today, I think. I kind of forgot what day it was. I thought it was Monday. Because, you know, days don't exist anymore.
Right.
I've been running around a little crazy. I don't know why. I accomplished one of my goals in learning how to use social media better. So
yes.
I feel like I'm slowly on an uphill. Mm-hmm. Also, today in Georgia is Giving Tuesday.
Yes.
So I made sure to find all of my favorite organizations to be a part of and celebrate with. So yeah, I feel like I've accomplished a lot more than typical on this day.
Nice.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired. I had our epic May the 4th be with you, and today is Revenge of the 5th. And so I've been very busy with my nerdery.
Mm-hmm.
But also quite productive. And I appreciate the reminder about Giving Tuesday.
Yeah.
And today's also my little brother's birthday.
Aw.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. It definitely doesn't listen, but that's cool. I'm not mad.
Yeah, and you know what? As you're talking about May the 4th, I forgot that I did not do my, it's gonna be May.
Is that like your May the 4th?
Well, just because like I did love NSYNC, and it was one of my favorite memes in the past. So I was like, you know, we gotta, because first of all, I thought as we were recording last week, it was February still. So
yeah,
I've caught up at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I like taking, if there's one thing I'm trying to take away from this pandemic, I'm trying to find like the silver linings. I do appreciate that I've almost become a lot kinder to myself now, where I'll be like, you know what? You can find joy in these little things and it doesn't have to feel frivolous. And you can feel like you are being productive, even if it's just, you know, I made a really silly, I cannot wait to show pictures of it. I'm saving it because I haven't done it yet, but I made a very silly diorama for Dungeons and Dragons. And we're going to play virtually for the first time this Friday, and I cannot wait to show them. But there's a time we're doing that, spending that long on essentially a box with some figurines in it.
Oh, I'm looking for hobbies to pick up because, as you know, I've been playing tons and tons of phone games.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have.
yes, including one of our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Best Fiends.
Yes.
Actually, I've accelerated a lot on that, and I need to stop that. But also, no, I've decided I wanted to do some knitting. So yeah. I've been talking to a good friend of mine who is a big knitter, and she and I have been discussing how to get started. So, yeah, box dioramas and knitting. Come on.
We're the best. Your hobby might be a bit better than mine. I can't wait for you to see it. I can't wait.
I'm excited to see it. One, two, my hobby hasn't really started. And the level of frustration that's probably going to happen at the beginning may end up making me quit. So we're not going to
yeah.
put too much sure. like expectation on it. Okay. But yeah, I'm glad I'm trying something new.
We'll check in on you later about the knitting. I'm sure some listeners have some tips.
I have a feeling I'm going to stab myself a couple of times. So it's fine.
I think that's part of the process.
Yeah.
Well, today I just wanted to check in. Always a delight yes. to see you. Today we are not just talking about knitting and D&D dioramas. We are talking about essential workers, what that means, and how it specifically impacts women. And the day I was researching this, I guess that was May 1st, mm-hmm. The essential workers were on strike across the country.
And we've seen a lot of backlash with the protests, including firings and dismissing of whistleblowers at the workplace, which is honestly a whole other conversation of unionization and rights of workers. But again, is a different topic altogether, and we should talk about it eventually, come back to what that looks like, especially for women and females and those who are intersectional and how they are unprotected from a lot of this backlash. But yeah, as we are talking about it, we know that there's a big conversation with Amazon, with Whole Foods, with all of those different places and whether or not they're protecting their workers.
Yeah.
And as we know, they have all been deemed essential workers. And what is essential workers? It varies from state to state, but a lot of these essential jobs are held by women. And a lot of the women are women of color and are low wage. So they don't come with paid leave, don't come with the option to work from home. And 62% of low wage and minimum income workers, again, are women. And some people are making more on unemployment. But again, to get on unemployment, you generally have to be fired or furloughed. And at this point, hope you get through the system. This is probably one of the reasons the death rate is higher in the Black and brown communities, which we will talk about as we keep going.
Right. New York Times analysis reported on by Campbell Robertson and Robert Gebeloff found that 1 in 3 jobs held by women have been deemed essential. And the likeliest group to be doing an essential job are women of color. Women make up 52% of the essential jobs workforce. And the article went on to break it down by sector. Here's a quote. Women make up nearly 9 out of 10 nurses and nursing assistants, most respiratory therapists, a majority of pharmacists, and an overwhelming majority of pharmacy aides and technicians. More than 2/3 of the workers at grocery store checkouts and fast food counters are women. In contrast, 28% of male employees have been identified as essential.
So if we focus in on the medical field specifically, almost 4 out of 5 workers are women. There are estimated 5.8 million healthcare jobs that pay less than $30,000 a year. And half of those jobs performed are by people of color. And 83% of them are done by women. 8 out of 10 home and personal care aides, again, are women. It's physically and emotionally demanding work, too. Healthcare workers experience non-fatal work injuries at a higher rate than their employees in construction and manufacturing sectors. And the CDC recently released a study finding that since the beginning of the outbreak, 73% of known infected medical workers in the U.S. have been women.
Women exposing themselves to COVID-19 are frequently earning less than male counterparts, which means it's harder for women to leave jobs they might feel unsafe at because they have less financial wiggle room. And the gender wage gap is worse for women of color. And not being properly compensated, women in general are likelier to hold lower paying jobs, not being protected, oftentimes not even noticed. Essential work, often done by women, is and long has been undervalued.
And all of this on top of being the primary caregivers to children now at home all day long. A recent survey found that 67.5% of Black mothers and 41.4% of Latinx mothers are the sole breadwinner of their families. And for white mothers, that number is 37%.
According to the UN Global Compact Academy globally, women already do 3 times more unpaid work when compared to men, and 60% of women work in the, quote, informal sector without access to structural protections. Also, women have traditionally done a majority of the home cooking and grocery shopping, 2 things that have become more necessary, complicated, and anxiety-inducing. Things like planning for 2 weeks, planning around shortages, keeping in mind when things are running low and need to be replaced, managing schooling, schedules for children, keeping them entertained. This is not just anecdotal. There is research backing it up already. And this has more implications in terms of women's careers. Already, there's been a decrease in academic papers submitted by women. Researchers speculate that this could later impact women's chances at promotions and raises. And there are extra expectations on jobs, too. For example, setting up FaceTime so that families of patients can virtually be with their loved ones, quarantining from your family. So today I went grocery shopping for the first time in 3 weeks, and it was so stressful for me. But I was only in there for about 20 minutes. And for these essential workers, that stress just every day having to deal with that, that takes a toll.
Right. And another thing, women sew a majority of the masks. A lot of them are donated, so they aren't even getting paid. And those that are, as companies pivot to make them, are largely composed of Latinx and Asian Americans who are undercompensated. And there is a long history of women being asked to make things largely for free and volunteer during disasters.
Right. On the flip side of the essential worker, we have to look at job loss. Black and Latinx people are losing their jobs at the highest rates. Looking specifically at the hospitality industry, around 90% of housekeepers are women. Many of these women are women of color, immigrants, and or refugees. Many don't have any money saved. A lot of them are single mothers. And in some cities, up to 90% of hotel workers have lost their jobs.
Of course, in childcare jobs, largely dominated by women, around 90% have seen cuts up to 72%. And a lot of them, again, are women of color and have been working on extremely low wages to begin with, and oftentimes with little to no benefits, including paid time off.
And that is something I would love to come back to you and talk about in a future episode. But for now, we have to talk about job loss. But before we get into that, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. Something else we wanted to touch on that there's been a lot of conversation about lately is PPP. So if you don't know what that is, here in the United States, over 50% of small businesses that have employees face immediate or near-term risk. To combat that, the government launched the Payment Protection Program, PPP. But as you've probably heard, the program hasn't been super successful thus far. The site was overwhelmed and crashed pretty much immediately. And then all this news started coming out about big companies like the Lakers and Shake Shack getting millions because they get white glove treatment from banks. Millions that was meant to go to small businesses. Definitely those are not small businesses. And thanks to systemic structural racism and sexism when it comes to things like getting loans, most of these companies are owned by white men. So not having access to a safety structure like this is impacting women and people of color more.
Right. And some women are turning to things like Bumble to find business partners and loans. And we know that businesses and companies like Spanx have been offering small business loans for women of color specifically, as well as women-owned businesses. So that's inspiring to see, but unfortunate that we have to go to that route in order to get any kind of assistance. Mm-hmm. And then the UN Global Compact has made some recommendations for companies to support women during this time, like including women in decision-making process. What a thought. And supporting working parents and remembering a lot of the unpaid work when it comes to childcare falls to women.
It is interesting. I hope that one day in the future, people look back and the very fact that the UN had to make a recommendation include right. women in decision-making will be laughable or weird. Like,
right.
they had to tell people to do that.
I mean, even as we talk about it, the UN has, was it right before or right at the beginning when they were talking about it being a world pandemic, actually discussing the fact for women's issues and women's rights being something that's important to the UN and should be a part of their policies. And it took to 2020 to have that conversation, and we're still having to have that conversation, mm-hmm. says a lot.
It does. It does. Well, back to small businesses. In the U.S., boosting the unemployment insurance structure is something that has been recommended. Paid family leave, again, feels like, yes, we should have that. Raising the minimum wage, implementing tools for easier access to banks, emergency childcare and housing programs, providing personal protective equipment or PPE, those kinds of things to help people during this, get through this.
Right. And I think something that we also should talk about is right now, essential workers do include domestic work. And I know we kind of went around about it, but I know many nannies who are still employed at this point in time and traveling to homes because they are trying to assist with education as well as childcare, mm-hmm. as it is a daily thing. And we do see that it's not necessarily being called essential work. And at the same time, it's kind of that trickle effect when someone who's in the medical field are leaning on these other domestic workers to come in and assist as well. Mm-hmm. And then also providing care, all of that.
Yeah. And this is just another very stark, terrifying example of how essential work is largely women's work. It's women who are making our society work and run and providing the basics we need to survive, and we don't value it and we don't compensate right. it. And we're just expecting people to risk their lives and the lives of the people they love for no pay and like, mm-hmm. just do it. It's your job, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So if there's a chance coming out of this, we can reevaluate the things like the division of labor when it comes to the household, undervaluing of women's work, the structural sexism and racism inherent in a lot of our society and the way programs work. That I hope that we will. I'm glad we're having these conversations and we need to continue to have them. I'm afraid that if we don't, these things will actually get worse coming out of it. These essential workers are doing more than risking their lives so that we can stay home. They're keeping our community going. So,
right.
We see you.
And we thank you.
Yeah.
And I think that's also, again, this is a really big subject, and we probably need to talk about it as everybody is starting to slowly reopen, as protests are happening with the statement that the government are infringing on their rights to be able to go out. And we see many of ridiculous protest signs that says, I need a haircut. Mm-hmm. And along those lines, it seems like with things like that happening, with those types of protests, people are not actually valuing what essential workers are. And even though you have this ridiculous line of heroes and warriors and all this war talk about the essential workers and how much they're needed, we are not actually caring for their health. We care more about our ability to have a hobby or mm-hmm. to, again, look nice for some reason, as opposed to thinking about what this does to A, restaurant workers, B, grocery workers, C, medical field, who is going to be once again overwhelmed and overrun with our inability to maintain a healthy boundary.
Yeah.
So I think that as we talk about essential workers, we cannot forget the downfall as well as the many of implications and the dangers and the risks we are putting the essential workers at as we are trying to move forward too fast because we are antsy, essentially.
Totally. And when I was researching this, I read a lot of articles where people, essential workers, were interviewed. And one thing they said that stood out to me is a lot of them said, people are treating me nicer, but they should have been treating me nicer to begin with.
Right.
And that they hope coming out of this that that will stay. And I hope so too. But yes, we should be treating people with kindness all the time.
Right.
Yeah. We were, Samantha and I were talking, I'm trying to think of a positive, a funny thing we could end on. And we were talking about, we're going to get quarantine cuts at some point.
I'm sorry, we did? We said this?
Well, we were just discussing. Like, I've already cut my bangs myself.
I don't have bangs, really.
So you're just going to... I'm actually kind of in a weird way excited to see everybody's hair when we all can emerge.
Right. I have always been that person that cuts my hair short and then lets it grow out for 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what's going to end up happening. I will say I've had my short haircut for about 2 years now. So, you know, that's that. But it's not going to be a complete shock. I was really hoping my partner would let me mess with his hair, but he keeps telling me no.
There's still time. There's still time.
I mean, he's smart. That's smart. But yeah. I still want to.
Yeah. I'm not really allowed to be too creative with my hair, and I've always wanted to be because I'm an actor. And so if I like show up with a weird haircut and dyed hair, that's a very specific role I'm going to get cast in if I get cast at all.
Right.
But now I'm stuck inside and nothing's filming. So.
Right. I mean, we're about to, I think there's conversations of us getting hair dyes. So I don't think that's going to show up on my hair because my hair is completely black.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, again, I can talk my partner into let me dye his hair bright blue or something.
We'll see.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see. So look out for those pictures, listeners. And speaking of listeners, we do have some listener mail in this one. But first, we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So yes, loving hearing from you listeners as always, and thought we would read some.
Right. First, we just want to give a shout out to all the people who are messaging us. Thank you so much. There's been so many people talking about all of the good stuff that we're talking about, as well as suggestions. So please keep those coming. Yes. And we do read them. And hopefully it'll be underway. As in fact, I think one of our upcoming book clubs listener suggestions. Yes. So yay. But yes, so Hannah wrote, hope you're staying sane and safe. Now that I guess Georgia is allowed to move around, which is terrifying. And by the way, just on a side note, Annie and I are not moving around.
Nope. Staying in.
But Hannah writes, I wanted to tell you that my friend Katie and I have been hosting a podcast for about a year about made-for-TV movies called One Kiss Means Forever, which, by the way, is a great title.
Yes.
Because that's basically all you get in these movies. This seems like a good time to suggest it, as it is completely about escapism movies. We do talk a lot about Hallmark, and though not exclusively. Yes, and the Hallmark channel definitely has those.
I think while they may not talk about it exclusively, Hallmark is exclusively that.
Yes, exactly. So that's obviously a good note. I know where Lifetime is all the tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're very aware that these are not good movies, but they definitely have a place and a purpose. We try to highlight when we see feminism, which generally makes the movies more palatable. I know this is not really your thing. Actually, I've watched a few. Don't worry, I've watched a few.
I can see Samantha getting into it.
I've watched a few. But you did ask for suggestions of podcasts made by women, and since we're all stressed out, it might be just what some people need. We try to keep it funny as much as possible. Thanks, Hannah. I actually really would love that, because who doesn't love A, making fun of some really cheesy movies and cheesy acting, but B, pretending like everything's going to be okay at the end of the hour and 30-minute segments?
Yeah, so listeners probably know this is not my world, but I do love it. And I think I would enjoy a podcast even without having seen it, because you just know that trope so much. But I think 2 years ago, I brought on one of my best friends, Katie, and we did a bonus holiday episode where she shared her expertise with all of the Hallmark holiday movies. So
I listened to that one. Yes. That's how, yes, I listened to that one. So again, if you guys are looking for an easy escape podcast, it is One Kiss Means Forever.
Yes. And now we have a letter from another listener who asked to remain anonymous. They wrote, I hope this letter finds its way to you. I am an avid listener of your podcast. In particular, I listened to your entire trauma miniseries last year. That series was very timely for me, as I've been going through my own journey the past year and a half to make peace with some things that happened to me when I was much younger. As part of this healing journey, together with a friend of mine who is a professional trauma therapist, I have created a site called The Impact Project. The Impact Project offers a space for victims of sexual assault to create and share an impact statement, completely anonymously, if they would like, about how the experience has affected their life years, decades, or a lifetime after it occurred. We are using these statements to create a piece of art in the form of a word cloud within an image. We want to use survivors' own words to show and educate people about the complex and long-term impacts of sexual assault. Each of our individual journeys will contribute to the collective narrative of our unique but shared experiences. This project has been in the works for a long time, long since before anyone had ever heard of COVID-19. I debated with myself a lot about whether to push forward with the launch now or to wait, but ultimately decided to launch now despite the pandemic. At a high level, I feel that COVID-19 has set off all of my triggers, both from my sexual assault and from my complex PTSD, even though those triggers have nothing to do with COVID-19. Just the constant state of heightened anxiety I now find myself in has brought all of my trauma responses screaming back to the forefront. I feel like now more than ever, people who have experienced trauma need an outlet to talk about it. The Impact Project offers one such space. I wanted to reach out to both of you, in part because of people like you speaking out about sexual assault and trauma that inspired me to create this project. So thank you for doing the mini-series and for highlighting these difficult and under-discussed topics. I also wanted to reach out to both of you because you have talked about being survivors yourselves, and I thought you might find what we're doing interesting. I also know that these are weird, stressful, busy times, and you don't know me at all, so I get it if you don't want to or not able to respond right now. I would just like to offer the site as something you can check out if you have the time and mental energy to do so. The site is at impact-project.com.
Yeah, and we did definitely go check it out, and it's an amazing project. It's really beautiful. I love projects like this because I think it's so important. I actually had a whole thing way back when I was going through a lot of my trauma and triggers and trying to open up, that it's so important to be able to say what you need to in your own words. So thank you so much. This is an amazing, amazing project.
Absolutely. I really, really, it was beautiful and inspiring. And you listeners are doing stuff like this all the time that we find amazing. And I definitely agree that just the constant anxiety is very triggering. So I believe people absolutely are looking for things like this if that's something they're experiencing. So thank you again. And thanks to all of you listeners who are writing in. Keep those messages coming. We want to know what you're doing. What's your quarantine haircut? What movies should we watch? What should our next watch party be? Our next book be? Any and all suggestions, thoughts, we love them. You can email us at stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Instagram at @stuffmomnevertoldyou or on Twitter at @momstuffpodcast. Thanks as always to our super producer, Andrew Howard. And thanks to you for listening. Stuff Mom Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.